Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. We would love to hear from you. A few things on everybody's minds, I'm sure. How does the market keep doing it? Earnings are great. Jobs numbers are terrible. Lots of news out there. And the market keeps rolling. Joe is kind of struggling now with getting past the first 100 days of his presidency. And now we're actually seeming to slow down on the agenda of the freight train, if you will, to government takeover of every aspect of our life. The jobs report, it was so interesting to me that we were expecting a blowout. I mean, this was so far from the number. I truly don't recall us being this far off. Now, in March of last year, when nobody had any idea, they weren't even making projections, right? But the idea that this far into our recovery and we're really ramping up, right? Because we're reopening. It's, you know, what's the best thing? A stimulus check or just actually like letting people go back to work? Opening up the schools, things like that. And it's happening. And I'm the first guy that is just like beside himself, angry about what's going on in public schools. Just angry. Angry that they're not back to full time. I read a data point. I don't want to get it wrong, so I'll come back to it later, about how many millions of kids are estimated not to come back to school. Like, not come back. Millions. How's their life going? Going to go, do you think? So, but even in Nutville, California, New York, Chicago, at least there's talk that maybe they're going to go back to school next year. Way to go, guys. How many millions of lives you destroyed for a year off? Good work. Strong work. It's pretty amazing. But it's opening, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. And then we get this jobs number like that. Wow. This is so far off that we're scrambling to try to figure this out. Now, the easy answer, of course, is that there's way too many people that are making nearly as much or more than they would be making in the job force, sitting at home, thanks to really super high enhanced payments. And the fact that, well, if you don't want to pay your rent, then don't. And they can't kick you out. So why do anything? Why actually go get a job? Because across the country, I had somebody in my office this past week, literally. They have about half the workforce that they could use right now. Everybody's working overtime. Everybody's stressed out. They have to turn down jobs. And these are good jobs. Anybody else hear that? Maybe just like yesterday or the day before, this past week, it is happening all across the country. That's a simple answer. And maybe it is the only answer. Maybe it is the truth. But I also want to be careful to not take 1 month numbers and call that the trend. We'll bounce back next month. I'm sure some of these numbers will be revised higher. They usually are. When they're particularly high, they revise down. They're particularly low, they usually revise up. It's not always. And I feel pretty good about the jobs market. It's going okay. But the good news is we're hearing it from both sides of the aisle, from states that are now cracking down, from commerce departments, right, across the country, are talking about the incentive to stay home is too strong. That's a shift. from literally a month ago. That's a shift. And so that, I think, is, if you will, getting back to the heart of what we are as Americans, right? We work hard. We take care of our families. We roll. Give us a little bit of freedom. We roll, right? We don't want to be taken care of. We don't want to be a society that just sits at home, doesn't do anything, has no productivity in their life. It sounds good to, like, be retired your whole life, but how does that really look in real life to like, be a trust baby, right? No expectation to go to school and become anything. Just here. Here's money. Here. Go have pleasure. It doesn't work. It totally breaks down society, doesn't it? Let alone the individual, right? Individual is society. But the point is that we don't do well and function well as humans and as an economy, as a society. And so this is, in my mind, is a very important, if you will, inflection point this past week, politically, if you will, the realization, the waking up, if you will, of America, the reawakening of America. This isn't us. You could just feel it. You could just feel it this week. And then the numbers are like, this isn't going to work. And you have actual people talking about it on TV, on the radio. There is no coverage now. It's like we're running out the clock. Joe, you have to do a press conference once in a while. You do have to explain, are you in charge? Are you doing anything? No, the president won't answer any questions right now, and they shuffle them off, right? That's wearing thin. It's wearing thin. And the idea that we're just going to spend trillions more and not explain why or what it's for or have incentives, the right incentives in place, like don't go to work and we'll pay you as much, that doesn't work. It's not how you build a society, and we're not rebuilding the economy that way. But let's not lose sight of the fact that all of the other numbers are really good, right? They're really good. We don't want to ever be those people that hang their hat and beat to death, usually for political purposes, one number. But when it comes into the economic look of things, right? Or what's the market going to do and all the stuff that we have to babble about, right? Like we're trying to figure out what the market's going to do over the next week. Who cares? It's the truth. Who cares? I'm going to talk about that in the second hour. It just doesn't matter what it's going to do. Is the market too high to buy into right now? Sure. If you think so, make the case. You've made the case already since it was at, I don't know, 15,000? How about 20? Do I hear 25? But you know it's been sitting, you've sat out in cash, cursing the market being too high for thousands and thousands and thousands of points. When stocks are to be owned, not to be traded. And then we come in and we just make that same argument every single week. And we miss the whole point, don't we? But we do have to talk about what the economy is doing, because it does affect all of our portfolios, right? Certainly does in the long run. You might say, well, how come the market was at all-time highs, you know, in July or August when the economy wasn't? It's thinking ahead. It's looking forward. Markets are always looking forward. This was very, to me, a very interesting week. A mixed week, right? We saw big tech announce amazing earnings the past week. Week to 10 days. I mean, stunning. The biggest companies, stunning billions of dollars worth of profits, cash flow, sales, everything. I mean, just the metrics were just perfect everywhere. You couldn't find a blemish on any of those reports. And their stocks are down. Huh. Was it because their outlook of the future was no good? No. Uh-uh. So sometimes the data doesn't match what stocks do at all. It's like inexplicable. stocks were tech stocks were down this week. Everything else was up. Interesting. Stocks rotate around. They do that. And we really find ourselves sometimes just completely baffled, and that's okay. But we're caught day to day, so intensely day to day, like we're gambling week to week. We got to have comments. We commenting on different things. Yes, job numbers are important. Yes, the idea that we're getting mall traffic back is important. It's all important. But it really is encompassing all of this. What is it? We're reopening. We're reopening. And the market at all-time highs is reflecting that, I believe, correctly. We should be at all-time highs because we're reopening and the economy is actually really strong. All right, well, I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, hopefully we will be talking with you at 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. Let's go ahead and quickly jump on the phones here. And by the way, it's 580-KIDO. Jeff, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please. You there,
Hello.
Jeff?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good.
I had a quick. I listen to you all the time on Kevin's show, and then on Saturday mornings, it kind of makes my day. So I have a question for you. I had a situation where I thought I needed a lot of cash really quick. I invested a very small amount about a year and a half ago, $3,500, in some different things like Del Taco and Nomura Holdings and a few other stocks. And it grew about three times over a year and a half. And in a panic, I sold everything off, and now I have $9,500 just kind of sitting there. And so I'm just wondering what your advice would be at this point. What to do with it. Part of me wanted to go back and buy all of the things that I had or get back into the things that I had because they were doing well. And I'm kind of nervous about it all the way around, so I wanted to get your take on it since you're so educated. And like I said, I love your outlook on things here in Idaho, and wanted to see what you thought.
Well, Jeff, thank you. First of all, I appreciate you listening, and those are very nice compliments, so thank you for that. Jeff, I think you need to decide what you're going to do with this money, meaning what's it for? And are you thinking of it as a long-term investment, or are you going to play with it? And although you did well, I mean really well, unbelievable running it from $3,500 to $9,500 in a year, that's crazy. And quite probably that won't happen again. Those kind of gains just really are off the charts, right? That just doesn't happen. I don't mind people speculating. I'm not telling you you shouldn't with a little bit of money. But if you're really wanting to put it away on a long-term basis, do so, right? I mean, let's get it in there. And the reason I say that is get it in there and leave it alone. And I'm actually going to be talking about that in the second hour and how important it is to not be gambling in the market, not with your serious money, but to be actually investing and holding stocks for the long term. Whether you should go back into the same ones or not, I can't say why you bought those, but I do understand getting nervous when you have a 300% gain. That's crazy. I mean, that's so crazy good. So, Jeff, decide. Is it time to put it into a Roth IRA and leave it alone for the next 20 years? Then go forward with it and do something on a more diversified basis than a couple of individual stocks. If you're still going to play with it, then I think you go back in anyway, because now you're going to be wanting to get that money invested either way and not stuck out. Okay. Hey, Jeff, I'm sure you hear the music. We're out of time, and thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I am going to be talking about gambling or investing in the next hour. Also, what's going on with inflation? We'll talk about both right after the news. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only, not this station. And we're here to tell you, not to tell you what to buy, and sell. And all of those, if you will, crazy ideas. How do you actually, you know, it's been a long time, if you will, part of our mantra, if you will, part of who we are, vision statement, I guess, is to try to help our clients find peace with money, right? And well, you just heard the tag. That is not just this easy thing to do. You don't find peace because, wow, you know, we hit it out of the park. We found the greatest investment over here and all those things. You find peace by relaxing about the outcome of the money. Understanding that markets go up and down, that you're not going to find the single best thing. But you can find peace. It's a really difficult pursuit. And for some people, it's super hard, right? We don't, oftentimes, we act like money's not that big a thing, right? It's kind of, money's not important to me. It's really important to everybody, right? We want to get it right. We want to get it right. We don't want it to be our idol, but we want to get it right in the right balance in our lives. And that's tough to do. It's tough not to over-engage in the markets. And thinking about what to buy, and sell, trying to outsmart the market and all those other things is furthest from the truth of trying to find peace. And also, trust me on this, you probably, most anybody listening doesn't have as much experience in the markets as me, right? They don't. Maybe older, but this isn't what you do all the time, right? I have for 40 years, and I've invested since I was 12. So it's a long time. It's a lot of intensity in this. You got to work at it to find peace in it. And the more you're stuck in it, trust me in this, the harder it is to think. Not just to have peace, but to think. To have any real wisdom, to not overreact, make the same mistake over and over. It's really hard unless you pull back. It may seem surprising, but I don't have CNBC running in my office, like ever. Certainly, you know, market all of a sudden go down, and you're like, okay, I got to find out what happened. What was the headline? You know, you'll see it go down in a straight line, if you will, right? You know, like something big happened. Or the opposite, goes way up. All right, what happened? You know, I know the Fed's speaking. They must have said something nice or stupid. Who knows? Absolutely irrelevant. That it really is. You just needed to know why for that day. Because now it maybe is a good buying opportunity. This is what plays, though, as what people are doing day in and day out. And it causes them to gamble in the market. It really does. I'm not gambling in the market. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Yeah. You see, I say this all the time, and I think it's so important to keep saying it, to keep learning it over and over, because it's not our human tendency, right? The reason that I and many of our clients have 10 and 20 baggers in Apple stock, Google, if it's a high growth portfolio, stuff like that, is because they own it. We've owned it for 10 years plus. We don't trade it. You don't get that if you trade. And there's a zillion opportunities to trade. The really, 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 really smart analysts that they parade on CNBC, and I it's not out at the office, but I do sometimes want to hear the after-hours report when you have Google, Apple, Amazon all are reporting at the same time. That's kind of big news. That's kind of big news, and I want to hear it. But you have had multiple. Now, sometimes it's the newspaper the next day. Most of the time it is. You pick up the paper and you go, yep, there's another analyst that says Apple iPhone 4 isn't nearly as good as its predecessor. They're never going to sell very many new headsets. The 5 No, Samsung has got such a better phone, and it's cheaper, and yada yada. Apple, just, you know, at these price levels, I can't believe anybody would own it. And it goes on and on and on and on for year after year, quarter after quarter. Every time they come up with a new phone, there's no way this one's going to be. Nobody's going to pay $1,000 for a phone. Oh, no, never going to do it. No, their revenues can't grow that much. It's a too big of a company at $500 billion. Well, it's $2 trillion now. Must be too big of a company. Must really be too big of a company now because it's four times big. Bigger than it was when it was too big to keep growing. These geniuses had everybody out and wishing they were still in. I can't believe how many people say, Dave, you can't always own Apple. Maybe I can't, but I'd love to, because wouldn't it be great if it was a continuing good story for like the rest of my life? It's just a giant wealth creator, and they even throw a little dividend in, and they raise it crazily every year, so I get more cash in all the time. And for me, the Boise Rescue Mission gets some of it too. That's great. Good for them. This is, to me, the bottom line of the misunderstanding of the market. We trade too much. We look at it like a casino game, and if you will, Robin Hood and their pretty apps and colorful displays and the ability to throw $10 on a stock because you can buy a partial share or whatever it is, doesn't help that. It hurts it. It makes it feel more like a game than an investment. This is so easy, and it is so hard. I like to gamble. I've openly shared that. I think it's fun to go to a casino once in a while. I'm also fully aware of the electric atmosphere and the fact of how many people get sucked in and their money gets sucked out. Fully aware. I know many of them. And I don't want to see it in investment portfolios. I don't want to see it anywhere. But if somebody wants to gamble, my suggestion is to keep it out of the market. Really is. Yeah, you can have a trading account. You can have a little thing you play with over here until you get tired of doing it, in addition to your serious money that you never touch and you don't gamble with and you don't overtrade. But I don't think it's very healthy, any more than going to the casino is every single day. It is a very dangerous place for many people. And I think the market as a gambling mechanism is also. People just don't think of it that way. But I've watched it happen many times. I've literally seen, no different than somebody that goes to the casino all the time and spends all the money, families broken up. I literally have. And to this day, sometimes I see people that still don't admit that they're gambling in the market, even as they've lost their family over it. Terrible. We all rationalize, we all have a difficult time with it, but that is a really big problem and becoming a bigger problem. It isn't helpful for Robinhood to allow small investors to buy $10 worth of stuff. It doesn't help it. Understanding the market as a game isn't helping people become better investors. It's dumbing them down. It's making them worse investors. They're not investors. They're speculators. Like betting on the Knicks. This is so easy. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.1 million. Unless you trade it. Then it's not. How much less? I don't know. A lot? We all know it's less, right? We all know it intuitively. You would pay more taxes by selling out, and that gets a haircut. You're also going to be talking about, I got in and out at the right time. No, you didn't. I had a couple in yesterday, and it's we actually, believe it or not, went to the same high school, right? Graduated the same year. Just maybe saw them twice in the last 40 years. Crazy. But they're coming in, and they've done well, and we're sitting around talking about it. And we're talking about, and this was a beautiful thing. She says, yeah, we panicked out in the pandemic, and then I didn't know what to do. Bam, self-awareness, honesty. I was like, and I'm not here going, oh, you mutton head? Of course not. It's everybody makes mistakes. This is why we're here, because we overanalyze and get paralysis from, right? Analysis to paralysis. It's a terrible disease, and it is. We think we get super informed and wired in and plugged in, just like I started off this segment, talking about too much noise, and we can't act, or we overreact. And again, this is what causes people to start this whole process. If you can admit it and set it aside, it's the beginning of, I have a problem. I need help. How about you do this, and so that I don't have this problem anymore? Self-awareness. Instead of denial that we haven't been timing it, doing it wrong for X number of years. Be careful. Be careful. Nobody wins at the casino except the casino. Everybody wins by investing in stocks that doesn't treat it like a casino. They are the casino. Goodness. All right, we're going to break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. My goodness gracious, I just had a big old dry spot. I felt it coming on, and I just couldn't stop it. So sorry about that. And it was time to go to a break anyway. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, I was talking about that, you know, gambling in the market, if you will, and there's so many different aspects to it now, right? It is very enticing. We can talk about Bitcoin. Why not throw some money at Bitcoin, whatever it is, right? Or should we go with the Dogecoin? Or the new ones popping up? Because why wouldn't new ones pop up? I mean, come on. Let's get super rich and create Petcoin, right? Petcoin's next. It's weird. We got Dogecoin. I've been talking about Petcoin for, well, since Bitcoin was probably at 6,000, right? Or 3,000 or whatever it was at the time. It's crazy. There's so many different things. But we're also dealing with the fundamentals, right? In a very noisy world. It's not just about, well, I don't gamble. It's also, it's the whole attitude of it. Of how much money have I made so quickly or lost? It's the, if you will, the speed of our thought process now. How quickly we need to get rich. Or catch up. You know, literally people with the FOMO, fear of missing out, right? Are chasing cyber currencies, if you will. Or they'll run over and they'll say, why don't we buy into lumber or copper companies? And maybe there's a fundamental reason to do so, so don't get me wrong, if you fundamentally think that these prices are going to stay at this level, whatever. But if you're chasing it, like, I got to hurry up and buy a house. Why? You're in a bidding war. Well, it's just going to keep going. Okay, but don't argue that you're getting a good deal. You're willing to pay more than 20 other people bidding for that house after it's gone up exponentially for several years. That's not a good deal. I'm not here to say it won't keep going up. It might, but you're not getting a good deal. You're not. And we have this fear of missing out, the same as this fear of the market going down. They're both, it's that, I know, it's back to that old fear and greed, but we are on steroids now for massive amounts of information. The whole thought process we have, we got to hurry up and win. It's kind of like, it's like you see what's going on in D.C. We got 100 days to change the whole wide world because voters really didn't vote for this. And we got to hurry up. Well, they're catching up. Voters are. They really are. But we feel like we got crushed. We lost. The Republicans aren't getting along. It's all over. It's never going to get better. Yeah, it probably will get better. This isn't America. All this progressive stuff that kids don't go to school, people stay at home in their pajamas, and we just send them money. Does that sound like the country anybody wants? Really? Really? It, you know, I said something, you're not woke enough, boom. You're an author writing about this. We're going to ban your books. Does that sound like America? We don't like what they said, so let's cut off his Twitter account. She's such a mean right-wing racist person. Cut her off. That's not America. We know that, right? But we don't, and we feel like at the time, it's over. Like it's never going to change. Back. And in markets, we feel like something is just never going to change direction again. And it always does. Markets are cyclical. But I hear this all the time, right? Kevin talks about it all the time when we're talking on Mondays, right? What goes up must come down. Yeah, but no, not really. Things go up, and then they might come down a little bit, and then they go up again. But I would argue that, you know, from 800 on the Dow to 36,000 on the Dow now, over my 40-year investing career as an advisor, that is pretty much up. We've had a lot of 50% declines. We've had a lot of 20% declines, 30s, a zillion fives and tens that you would have thought the world was ending on. But is that down? Right? It sometimes is that perspective of how short duration we live in. Talk about, think about, micromanage in. So it's really not just about gambling in the sense of $10 on GameStop or some other silly thing. It's not just that. It's the mentality of all of us. So even if you don't think you're a gambler, this speaks to all of us, doesn't it? Of the rapidity of life. It's so fast. We have longer lifespans and shorter time frames that we think about. Does that make sense to you? My grandparents used to think generationally. Is there anybody left that does that anymore? We spend $6 trillion now. So the future generations pay for that. That's not just a statement. It's a statement of fact. Because by definition, if we're taking it at borrowing it, somebody's paying it back in the future with less opportunity to use it or literally to just have to take money to pay it back. It's not available to them. And this isn't a problem for people. We just talk about it like it's an economic problem. I think it's a moral problem. What's wrong with us? And we think shorter and shorter. It's like we get online and find out how much money we made or lost every single day. in the market. But you're an investor? Really? Does that feel like investing? Does that sound like investing to you? It doesn't to me. It doesn't sound like owning the great corporations of the world and peeling a lifetime of growing income out of them to me. But you see, it's a fight for all of us. It's not a put down, like, you know, there's a certain group of people that does this all the time. It's all of us. We look too close. We're all in this war of fighting, of our minds going a million miles an hour. Nobody sleeps anymore. Right? I mean, it's so much going on, so much intensity. And then we wake up and we get on MSNBC, who hasn't found a good thing in the whole wide world forever. But I'm going to be happy with my grandkids. No, you won't. You'll be a miserable old person, always fussing about everything. We all are. We got to fight this all the time. All the time. Or we listen to how bad America is on the Communist Network News. It's just, wow. I didn't feel this way when Ronald Reagan was president. I felt like, wow, we are something. He believed in the country. We have a whole bunch of information, data, negativity firing at us at all the time. But we're supposed to think long term. We live, and I fully expect to be a healthy 100-year-old. Everything's being invented now. Everything. We have a vaccine in a year. Thank you, Mr. Trump. And more importantly to Mr. Trump, no, it wasn't just President Trump. It was all these great companies that pulled together with the scientists and technology. Yes, Trump's administration got out of the way, and we have vaccines that are saving millions of people, clearly. Millions of people are being saved. But you think that technology just goes back on the shelf and we never use it again? No, technology is exponential. It's going to be used, and we're going to grow more. And it's not just for the next vaccine. It's probably for cancer treatments and all these other things. And now I'm way, way outkicked my coverage here. But to not be thinking that you're living longer and then recognizing that we are having shorter and shorter mindset on investments and life, it's an important thing. We got to figure out how to dial that back. We really do. Or we'll be terrible investors forever. And probably not as happy a human beings as we should be. All right, I got to take a quick break. We got to do a break here for Fox News. And I want and need your calls. Oh, by the way, happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful ladies out there. I miss my mom. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. I just have to laugh. I'm, you know, see, the vice president's being, the president and the vice president are being criticized by Republicans for not going to the border. Just Republicans. Everybody else thinks it's cool. We have amazing crisis. And I mean, to me, that just says Democrats are, they you know, because everything's so partisan. And it is. I get that. But the idea that all Democrats don't care that there is human trafficking, children dying every single day, drugs pouring into the country. Yeah, it's not pot, guys. It's fentanyl and stuff. And they've even caught terrorists. But Democrats don't care. It's only Republicans that are angry that the president doesn't even bother to go. It's weird to me. Like that's a partisan thing. It's so everything's reported that way. It just seems weird. Maybe it's just me. Hey, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Further, if you want to hear a part of the show you missed or what have you, podcasts are at PetsoFinancial.com. We also have a YouTube channel. My goodness gracious. I mean, we're starting to actually come into the current era here and do some stuff. And coming soon are going to be some beginning investor stuff on YouTube so that you can hopefully help educate your kids. Because no matter how far they went in school, they didn't teach them about the capitalist markets. They really didn't. Terry, how are you today? Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Well, you scared me a little bit earlier in the show when you
nearly
sort of led me to believe that you thought that the government was efficient and actually had efficient counts on the unemployment numbers.
That was frightening, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I was pretty clear. I think that we don't want to hang our hat on one number and they'll revise and do all those things, right? I hope I was clear of that.
Well, I don't hang my hat on any of their numbers because I don't trust these disingenuous, self-serving, I'm censoring myself, clowns.
Yes, I caught the hesitation there.
So, the government is in it for the government. They're not in it for us. So that you have to take that into account with everything. I'm still trying to figure out how money supply and inflation. I found a number crunch that had the percentage of increase in money supply next to the percentage increase in inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of, you know, the correlation just sort of boom, boom, boom. Okay, well, sort of see what they're doing here. They're not looking out after my money, which is why I am playing in crypto a little bit, learning how to use that system, because they're devaluing my money.
They are. I don't disagree. I do think that we're, let me put it this way. You can go onto YouTube and there is a, oh, no, there's not. That's right. Goldman Sachs wouldn't let us use it.
Yeah.
Never mind. They wouldn't let us use the cryptocurrency one. Let me just phrase it the way J.P. Morgan talked about it, as well as Goldman Sachs. So let's just say the major banks are all struggling with understanding cyber currencies, but they're not currencies. They're not cyber currencies.
No.
Okay? And there are multiple kinds. Some are used internally. And I think that's going to be huge, right? Like J.P. Morgan's going to come up with something internally, so they can do their own internal stuff. It's not meant to be traded. It's meant to be used for, if you will, very, very, very super secure internal stuff, internal transactions, right?
Yes. So, again, earlier you were talking, and it's to keep it out of the hands of the government by taxation. So my money goes over here, and it sort of gets a little foggy of what's going on, and it's up to me to pay the taxes I'm due. That Jack Spirko fellow I listen to a lot says 90% of the tax code is how to not pay the other 10%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a big stack of tax code. What is it? It's exemptions and how to keep the money how to keep from paying the taxes. So that's what this is trying to give people a little alternative to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand, and it's just, but again, it's not, as they say, a hedge, an inflationary hedge. Even gold is not acting that way.
No, oh, yeah.
You know, it's not. It ought to be. Gold ought to be going up, right?
I've been saying that for 6 years now.
But lumber and copper this week, again, hit a record high, an all-time record high. There's huge inflation out there on the producer side. Not so much on the consumer side because we're still super productive. Technology has helped keep those costs down. But I do, as you know, Terry, I've pointed out many, many times that the money supply, M2 money supply, big word for all the money sitting in everybody's accounts, okay? Basically cash, checking accounts, things like that, has gone up by 27%. If you think I misstated it, it's because it was 25, then it was 26, it's now 27% on the trailing 12 months.
As long as they keep printing it and sending it out to us and we don't know what to do with it, okay.
Hey, just keep whistling, it's okay. It's all right. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I do, I get it. I get people's concerns about inflation. We just did a, also available out there on YouTube, is why the market is working right now. And I really do encourage people to go to our YouTube channel and watch that one. If you are terrified of everything right now, you really should. Because sometimes we look so close that we don't see the forest for the trees, right?
Don't be afraid. Figure out how to play the system for your advantage, your benefit. And that's what the name of the game is.
But people are, and I do think it goes back to our happiness, our contentment, our short duration, and our
yeah.
eyesight, all of those things. It all comes back to that, that somehow we're fueling this race towards death. We live longer lives with shorter time frames, and this means our investments, the way we have an outlook for things, and the idea that we're going to spend $6 trillion, another $10 trillion here, another $10 over there. I mean, we're way over $20 trillion, and we don't seem to care. And that is not the way my grandparents acted. They were trying to set the world up better for their kids. And I don't mean my grandparents. I mean yours, too. This was the universal thing, is our kids are going to live better. Now we create a world where we are electing people that believe, I guess, that we are all so selfish that we don't care about our grandkids. And I just don't see that day to day as a truth. So I do hope we get back to some more responsibility and think longer term of the things that we are doing. But I also don't think, one quick thing, Terry, I don't think, and that's what I talk about in this YouTube repeatedly, that we are in any kind of imminent danger for hyperinflation at this time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hyper. Well, again, that's we're talking something there to a guy with the attention span of a gnat with a delayed gratification syndrome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're teaching critical race theory instead of economics.
Instead of life. It's just really weird.
Yeah.
It's like life is just not a political hunt. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't
yeah.
be. I'm right and you're wrong, and that's it, and I'm entrenched. It's just
you're wrong, and I don't care. It doesn't affect
that's
the temperature
better
of the water in my pool.
Yeah. All right. I got to take a break, Terry. Thank you for your call.
Right. Take care, David.
Thank you. Have a
Bye.
Wonderful day. And once again, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, young and old. And we will take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to have plenty of time to take your calls at 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, we've got plenty of time to take your calls at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. We'd love to. You know, before I get to my final thoughts today, I wanted to again encourage people to let us know what kind of things you want us to talk about here. And what kind of things, what kind of, if you will, YouTubes we could put together that would help you with your kids and grandkids to talk about the capital markets, or, you know, how to manage money, how to think about money in a different way. And we'd love to hear from you, and that's petsofinancial.com. We also have articles and calculators there, as well as, of course, podcasts to help you with your financial planning. There's two new videos out there, too, on our website that I think they're there now. I know that the annuity one is, because I'm always asked about annuities, and I don't want to sit on the show here and talk about annuity pimps anymore. I just don't want to do it. It's hopefully it's beneath us. We just don't need to do that. I will talk about it when it comes up in different things, but I would rather. So we did a video. It's short enough. You can get some information on it. If you need more depth, you call us. But I think it's only about 12 or 14 minutes long on a very complex thing, and that is annuities. And frankly, it's why they won't work. They can't work. And so that's out there, and you can go there and see that. And also my 10 investment commandments is the one I was hesitating that it was there on there. If not, it's on YouTube either way. Okay? All right. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, back to something we've talked much about the last few weeks, really. It's been, I guess, on my heart is the way to talk about it. And that is how frustratingly, as my wife says, fangry. Frustrated. Maybe not quite angry, but we're fangry. And we are. Our hearts hurt because of what happened at the elections, the unfairness of how things are reported in this world. The Pravda press now is what I call it, where apparently kids come out of journalism school and happily go, I can't wait to work for the government. That's what I want to do. I want to work for I just want to be a political mouthpiece. That's all I want to be. I don't ever want to uncover anything that disagrees with the people on the left. And that's where we are. And it's weird. You can't even turn on the news anymore that it's not so biased. I can't get news, so I don't watch it. And we all feel that way, and it makes us very frustrated and angry. But it also affects our hearts in how we are going to be guided by whether we start a business, whether we buy a home, even whether we have children to bring into this world, this awful world. Who would want to raise kids in this world? All of that. And the reason I sit here today to talk about money, right? I mean, it really affects us. And it's really important that we take the time to really understand how frustrated we are and how it is driving us to make bad decisions, to stay out of the market because it's fill in the blank, right? It's a casino. And I know those are marketing BS things by a bunch of sharks. I get it. But there really are people that don't stop to understand that it is creative destruction that has made this country great. It's totally what we're about. And the markets seem almost made up because they're just so good, right? I mean, again, $5 a day, a cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.1 million, and you didn't do anything. You just put it in and left it alone. Strong work. Really? Come on. This is too easy. And so we make it hard. We don't have to. But the thing is I went to the Keep Idaho Red rally last night. Thank you, Kevin Miller, for being my companion. That was great. But I tell you, Kevin gave a phenomenal tribute to Rush Limbaugh. I heard from Burgess Owens, a first-year congressman, former football player from Utah, that was extremely optimistic. Super. We are so fortunate. We live in Idaho. We are so fortunate to have actual politicians like Russ Fulcher that are actually good people. I think our governor is a good man. You don't have to agree with him on everything, but why do we have to agree on everything? Or you're a phony person. You don't check every single box just right. You don't match the woke purity test of a true Republican. So you're out. You're a rhino. I have a friend of mine, very close friend of mine, that decided to throw a few guys together and take a cross on Easter up to Table Rock. He's Catholic. I'm not. I'm sure some of the other people were Catholics or Protestants or fundamental whatevers. Nobody cared. I mean, literally nobody cared. Nobody asked what religion they were. It's some kind of weird test of purity that people don't match up to. I don't have to agree with you on everything, but I found a room full of people last night that were actually optimistic when they just had their teeth kicked out. It made me proud and optimistic and back to what I've been talking about for a month. The only realism is optimism. It's the only realism. Things will return to normal. They will. But we have to be guiding posts in that. With that, happy Mother's Day. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.